The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Zion Primitive Baptist Church in Zion, Alabama. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.
I want to welcome you today to the Gospel of Grace podcast. This podcast is an outreach of Zion Primitive Baptist Church near Gordo, Alabama. I'm Chris McCool, and I serve as pastor of Zion Primitive Baptist Church. We are a congregation where families worship together through the simple practice of preaching, praying, and singing. We would love to have you worship with us in person sometime. The church address is 9487 County Road 49, Gordo, Alabama. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. and the first and third Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m.
As we began to see yesterday, judicial blindness is a specific chastening judgment meted out by God upon His people, the Jews, due to their persistent unbelief of the gospel message. We learned that this sort of blindness is a spiritual condition where individuals or groups are divinely permitted to remain in a state of spiritual ignorance or insensitivity as a consequence of their continuing unbelief and disobedience. God is truly long-suffering, but there comes a point where He permits the consequences of our actions to overtake us in this life. Thankfully, this is a timely chastening and not an eternal judgment, but we should strive to avoid it by embracing the true gospel message that Christ is the end of the law for righteousness.
Romans 11. Remember what it says in verse 7, the rest were blinded, okay? Now, it didn't say the rest were blind, okay? The reprobate are blind. We were blind before we were born again, okay? Jesus told Nicodemus in John 3:3, verily I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. If you weren't born again this morning, you couldn't see what's going on here in the kingdom of God. It'd just be some gathering. It'd just be some place for you to come. It might be a social event to you. But beloved, there's something special that goes on in the church of the living God. The kingdom that He's talking about here. That's the kingdom that's under consideration. He's not talking about the eternal kingdom of heaven. There'll be nobody blind in heaven. They'll all see everything in heaven. We'll know as we're known in heaven. But here and now, there are many things
that before we're born again, even as children of God, we cannot see the kingdom of God. He said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You're blind before you're born again. Ephesians 2:1 says, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. A dead man is blind. He doesn't have to be blinded. You see? He doesn't have to be blinded. He's blind. Before you're born again, you're blind. You don't have to be blinded. You're blind. Only somebody who can see can be blinded. And here, the point he's making in Romans 11 is that these are God's children that have been born again. They have sight, but God has blinded them due to their disobedience. That word blinded literally means to petrify or to cover over like with a thick skin or scales. And it figuratively means to lose the power of understanding. And so, notice what's happened here. These Jews that Paul has a great desire to see embrace Christ's sacrifice, and so they're children of God, already born again, they have not done that, and their disobedience has precipitated their being blinded by God. Notice what he said in verse 7. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for. What did he seek for? Back in Romans 10 and verse 3, they were seeking to establish their own righteousness, but they sought it in the wrong way. And that leads to shame, okay? So verse 8, according as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber. God has given them the spirit of sleep. The word slumber there is a Greek word that means a prickling sensation like you get when one of your arms or legs falls asleep. You know, you ever had an arm or a leg or something fall asleep, and then when it comes back, it's prickling. That's why they use this term there that means that. So the idea there is that it's an insensibility or a spiritual spirit of stupor, if you will, that's brought about by God that renders their souls insensible so that they're not affected anymore by the gospel message. See, what he did here, he's quoting, by the way, and we try to always remember this, he's quoting from the Old Testament. Here he says, God, according as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, ears that they should not hear unto this day. That comes from over in Isaiah chapter 29. So let's look back there just for a minute and let's see what's going on in Isaiah chapter 29. It's always good to look at the context of the quote when it's used in the New Testament. So in Isaiah chapter 29 in verse 10, where it's taken from, it says, for the Lord hath poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep, and hath closed your eyes, the prophets and your rulers, the seers hath he covered, and the vision of all is become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one that is learned, saying, read this, I pray thee, and he saith, I cannot, for it is sealed. Now the context here, if you go back, the very first verse of here says, woe to Ariel, the city where David dwelt. That's a reference to Jerusalem. And he goes on to talk about how they're still sacrificing, they're still following the law, but God is judging them for their disobedience. He's bringing judgment upon Jerusalem because of Israel's idolatry. And ultimately he says, here's the problem. Verse 9, stay yourselves and wonder. Cry ye out and cry, they are drunken, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with strong drink. And here's the quote again, for the Lord hath poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep. You're like a sleepwalker going through life and just stumbling from one place to the other. That's what it's like. And that's what he says you Israelites are like right now. God has given them the spirit of slumber. Verse 9, and David saith, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. Beloved, here in verse 9, David didn't say, let them all die and go to hell. That's not what he said. He didn't say anything here about dying, their recompense being hell. He said, let their table be a recompense unto them, and a snare and a trap and a stumbling block. So notice what's happening here. For these Jews as a whole,
not, you know, there were some individuals that were faithful and embraced the gospel message, but as a whole, these Jews have been given their table, the place where their food is, the place where their physical nourishment, physical sustenance is, that has become their recompense. This table that he's talking about, it's a here and now thing, and it's a snare, it's a trap, it's a stumbling block. You go back to Psalm 69 and you'll see in there where this is taken from. The entire psalm, by the way, contains many messianic references, okay? But the idea here is that what is happening to Israel is because they have continued to reject the gospel message, God has gotten to the point where he said, you know what? I'm not going to keep dealing with you. And I'm not going to keep sending this to you, these prophets to you and raising up prophets and raising up preachers. He said, I'm just going to let you enjoy your table here and now. Now think about this just for a minute. Isn't that what we see? Not just with Israel, not just with the Jews, but with many today. See, I don't believe that everybody you see out there in the world that doesn't embrace the gospel message like we do is going to hell. I believe the Bible's clear on that. There's a people of God in every kindred, nation, tongue, and tribe. There are many people that have never heard the gospel. They're going to be in heaven because they were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. But there are many people that have heard the gospel message that have rejected the true gospel. Maybe they've embraced a version of it. They said, well, Jesus will save you if, or Jesus has saved us, but we have to do something to add to it. That's not the gospel. That's not the good news. That's bad news to me. That's bad news. If I got to do something to be saved, I'm in trouble. I'm out of luck. Okay? But I don't believe those who have rejected the true gospel message that everyone we see is going to die and go to hell. I don't believe that, you know, there are people that have come to our church and there are people that have joined our church. There are people that have left our church and they're out there in the world. Some have gone to other churches, but many have gone away from church. I don't believe that they're all dying and going to hell, but you know what's happening? What may be happening to them? Some version of this judicial blindness to where their recompense is what they see in front of them every day. The material things of this world. The physical thing, maybe they're focused on their job. Maybe they're focused on their recreation. Maybe they're focused on their hoarding up stuff. Maybe the pleasures of this life. Beloved, that's a poor recompense, isn't it? That's a sad place to be. Jesus said, or Paul says here, says that, quoting David, let their table be made their recompense. Not eternal hell, but here in this life, they're going to just enjoy the things of this life. What a sad place for a child of God to be. See, turn back with me to Hosea chapter 5. We're gonna use this and maybe close out with this. But back in Hosea chapter 5, we find a very good example of how God often deals with his children in chastening us like this, okay? Hosea chapter 5 and verse 8. Now this is Hosea's writing to the children of God over here in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. That kind of puts you in the chronology there, the kings of Judah, and also in the time of Jeroboam and Joash, the king of Israel. And he's writing to them about some judgments that God is going to bring upon the nation there because of what the idolatry they've taken. And by the way, Hosea is such a sad case to me because I'm so thankful that my ministry is not Hosea's ministry. You know what God required Hosea to do? If you go back to chapter 1 and verse 2, he said, you go take unto thee a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms, and your marriage is going to reflect the way the nation of Israel is acting toward me. And what a sad case. His wife continued to cheat upon him and all that. And that was at God's, what a horrible ministry. I'm so thankful God didn't, you know, Jeremiah's another one, the weeping prophet. Praise God. I hadn't had to weep, all of my ministry. There's some weeping involved, but praise God, it's not all weeping. But here in chapter 5, Hosea is giving them some instructions about how God is going to deal with them. Okay? Now, let's just begin reading in verse 8. Ephraim, speaking of the northern kingdom, shall be desolate in the day of rebuke. Among the tribes of Israel have I made known that which shall surely be. He's already told them the judgments that are coming. Verse 8. Verse 8, blow ye the cornet in Gibeah, and the trumpet in Ramah. Cry aloud at Beth-Aven after thee, O Benjamin. Ephraim shall be desolate in the day of rebuke. Among the tribes of Israel have I made known that which shall surely be. The princes of Judah were like them that removed the bound. Therefore I will pour out my wrath upon them like water. In other words, the princes of Judah, they were removing the boundary lines. They were removing the old paths, so to speak. Ephraim is oppressed and broken in judgment because he willingly walked after the commandment. Therefore will I be unto Ephraim. Now listen to verse 12. Therefore will I be unto Ephraim as a moth, and unto the house of Judah as rottenness. When Ephraim saw his sickness and Judah saw his wound, then went Ephraim to the Assyrian and sent to King Jareb, yet could he not heal you nor cure you of your wound. For I will be unto Ephraim as a lion. Now notice he's already said, I'm going to be unto Ephraim as a moth. Now I'm going to be unto Ephraim as a lion. And as a young lion to the house of Judah, I will tear and go away. I will take away and none shall rescue him. Now verse 15, I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face in their affliction. They will seek me early. Now notice what's happened here. The first thing God says he's going to do, he's going to be like a moth. You know, a moth, you know, it's a little insect, you know, buzzing around a flame. It's flickering here and there, and it's going, you know, it's just flying around. It's kind of annoying, you know, just annoying you a little bit here and there. It's, you know, I remember we were sitting outside the other day under the live oak tree out there, and all these little ladybugs, they're just everywhere, and it's flipping here and hitting there, and it's just, you know, getting my attention. And sometimes one would walk a little bit before I notice it, and then I'd knock it off, you know, and so the first thing God has done, he's presented as a moth. And he's telling them, as like a moth, bringing to their attention the things that he would have them to do. Then he presents to them as a lion, a roaring lion. It gets more serious, you see. And then finally in verse 15, he says, I'll go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. You remember what we said about Jesus walking out on his people? He said, you'll not see me henceforth till you say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And he got up and walked out of the temple. So let me share with you how Brother Joe Holder puts it in regard to this particular passage and how God is dealing with these Jews in Romans chapter 11. God depicts himself, Brother Joe says, as a loving, gracious, and caring father to his children. While earthly parents may at times take their personal frustrations at life out on their defenseless children, God never does so. You know, I've always said, God's a better father than me. He always gets it right when he chastens us. Okay, if he chastens, it is because of our sins. If he annoys us like a moth, it's because we have refused to follow what he's already taught us about what is right and just. If he roars at us like a young, hungry lion, our own stubborn sins are the cause. Ah, and if he retreats and leaves us with a foreboding sense of divine silence, silence that shouts at us as if broadcast on a public address system with the volume turned to the maximum, it's because we have refused to listen to his clear testimony in our conscience, confirmed by his testimony in Scripture. There's a verse back in chapter 4 of Hosea, verse 17, where he says, Ephraim is joined to his idols, let him alone. That's a sad verse. See, God has annoyed them like a moth, then he's roared at them like a lion, and finally, he has withdrawn from them in silence. Okay? Basically, that's the way God deals with us, isn't it? He deals with us, and he deals with us, and he deals with us until one day he can just leave us alone if we insist on going our own way. Again, I'm not talking about eternally. You know that. Let me tell you that I know whereof I speak. I'm not just up here preaching something that I read, although that's good enough. If I read it in Scripture, that's good enough. But beloved, I have experienced that. I don't usually preach my experiences, but I want to share it with you just a little bit this morning. There was a point after I started preaching, and before I came to Zion Church, where there was another church a long distance away that I had a sweet spiritual experience with early on. And Sherry and I, we just talked about it and what a sweet place it was. And I began to serve that church in an interim capacity. And I began to go up there and to preach. And I loved those people, and I still love them to this day. But there was a point where if I had listened to the Lord, if I had been spiritually conscious enough to get what God was teaching me, where He was clearly leading me, not to that church, but to this church. But I just wanted to make it work. Brother Mackey, I couldn't, the details, just, it was so clear from all the signs, from all the circumstances in my mind that was a place where I just had to be. That's the place I wanted to be. And I kept pushing. And finally, ultimately, I told that church, I said, I will come and be your pastor. And you know what happened to me? For about 2.5 weeks, the spigot of heaven was turned off completely. It was like the Lord had clean gone forever from me. I wasn't out robbing banks. I wasn't out running around on my wife. But I was not going in the direction God would have me go. And He had dealt with me. He had told me. He had been leading me. I could look back on it now and see He had annoyed me like a moth. There were times that He was roaring in my ear that that's not where you need to be. This is where you need to be. And beloved, He kept on, and I kept rebuffing Him and rejecting His leading in my life and being disobedient. And you know what ultimately happened? For about 2.5 or 3 weeks, I felt like the Lord was clean gone forever from my life. And that's a bad place to be for a preacher, but it's a bad place to be for anybody who's a child of God. Now, the rest of that story, as most of you know, is that after about 2.5 weeks of that, I realized God was leading me in a different direction. And praise God, the chastening of God is a mercy. The chastening of God is a mercy. Beloved, don't despise. The Bible teaches us that. Don't despise the chastening of the Lord. It's just like the chastening of your father or your mother. You know, if they were doing it right, they weren't trying to beat you and hurt you. They were trying to correct you and get you in the right place. And praise God, our God is better at that than my mom and daddy ever were. And I'll never forget when I finally made that sad call to that church to tell them I'd made the wrong decision. As hard as that call was, the next morning when I woke up with tears in my eyes because I felt the presence of the Lord again. Now look, I'm not preaching my experience. I feel funny even talking about it, but it's so in line with what I read in Scripture. And beloved, that can happen to me and it can happen to you. And beloved, here we see that this is what God is doing to this nation as a whole. He's withdrawing from them, you see. Brother Joe Holder says the major point we should draw from Paul's teaching in this lesson is this. God never reacts capriciously or without provocation in His loving but fearful chastening to urge us away from our sins and back to Him. But when divine judgment turns our breakfast table into a snare, it's not because of some mystical divine plan. There's a reason, and we find the reason in our own sins, not in divine duplicity. Notice in going back to verse 10 here in chapter 11 of Romans, he said, "Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see, and bow down their back always." Notice that last verse. Bow down their back always. Beloved, when I was going away from God and rejecting His counsel and His leading and trying to go my own way, my back was bowed down so badly. I think I have shared this with you, and I was, it's kind of humorous, but not. During that time, I went to Dr. Brandon, and I went to see him, and I said, "Doc, I don't know. My head hurts, my chest hurts, my stomach hurts, I can't eat, I can't sleep," and he's writing on his pad. And then I said, "And by the way, I think I'm out of the will of God." And he stopped and looked up, and he said, "I can't help you with that one, brother." And you know, he was right. You know why I was at that point? Because I was going away from God. I was being disobedient. See, we are warned not to get into the same position that the children of Israel got into. Now, just to close up with this, again, going back to Brother Joe Holder, this sort of sums up what we read about the history of Israel at this time and about what God has done here. He said, after receiving a personal visitation from God, incarnate, that's in Jesus, after several years of repeated warnings from Jesus' apostles, first century Jews, many of them God's regenerate children whom both Jesus and his apostles repeatedly called on to repent and turn to him, faced the deafening sound of silence in the summer of 70 AD when the Roman army besieged the city of Jerusalem and eventually sacked the city and turned their beautiful temple into ruins. That's what happened to Israel. Reckon where we are in America today. Reckon where we are, and we've just celebrated our Thanksgiving holiday, my favorite holiday of the year, because it's based on a historical event by children of God who were coming over here to worship God in spirit and in truth and escape the persecutions of Europe and founded ultimately a country upon the principles of God's word. Where are we today? God has given us as a nation multiple and repeated opportunities to hear and embrace his true gospel. And he'll not always strive with this nation or any other nation. He'll not always strive with his people, but will eventually bring judgment and chastening upon us. But I don't want to leave you with just judgment and chastening. Let me just read one more verse here, and then we'll close. Verse 11. You know, every time it gets dark, I was in the darkest time of my life, that experience I told you about. Every time it gets dark, you know what God has? He has a way out for his children. And that way out is getting back to him. The prodigal son had a way out. It wasn't to stay in the pig pen and say, "Well, I wonder what God's trying to teach me down here. He just put me here." No, he didn't put you there. You put yourself there. He got up. He said, "I will arise and go back to my father's house." Verse 11, "I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather, through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness?" We're going to stop there this morning with the reading, but just understand, he doesn't leave us with judgment. He doesn't leave us with wrath. He says, listen, okay, they're in a place, it's a bad place, but beloved, okay, they've fallen, and it's been a blessing to the Gentiles that the word of God, the gospel of God, has gone out to the world. And beloved, instead of consigning them to hell, let's pray for their repentance. See? Instead of rejecting them now, and you know, there's so many people that are anti-Semitic today. That's contrary to the word of God, beloved. And it's not because of some master plan God has for the end of time. It's simply because God has a people even among the Jews. God has a people in every nation and kindred and tongue and people. And beloved, we, instead of rejecting them and saying, "Well, they're clearly going to hell because they're not doing what we think they ought to do," beloved, we ought to pray for them. And that's what Paul says, isn't it? He said, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." Did you know that God can intervene even in those who have, of his children, who have rejected and not embraced the gospel message? God can intervene. And I've seen him do it many times in the lives of his children. I'm so thankful that I'm preaching to a people that understand we're not talking about eternal salvation, but we're talking about the deliverance we experience here by believing and trusting in the finished work of Christ. Thanks be to God for that glorious message.
Thank you for joining us today on the Gospel of Grace podcast. We hope you'll join us again tomorrow when we'll present another message of God's sovereign grace. In the meantime, if you have any questions or would like to contact us, please go to the website at zionpbc.com, where you can subscribe and get email updates every time a new sermon or any announcements are posted. Also, you can contact me directly at jchrismccool@gmail.com. That's the letter J, chrismccool@gmail.com. Again, thank you for joining us today on the Gospel of Grace podcast, and may the Lord bless you is my prayer.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.